The Becker's team is excited to be making our return to in-person events this fall. Join us in September for Becker's Hospital Review 6th Annual Health IT and Revenue Cycle Conference. We have opportunities to attend the in-person program in Chicago and also to join us virtually from the comfort of your own home. For information about registering and to find out if you are eligible to attend free of charge, reach out to us at registration@beckershealthcare.com.
Hello, everyone. I'm Brian Zimmerman with Becker's Hospital Review. Thank you for tuning into the Becker's Healthcare Podcast Series. Today, I'm pleased to be joined by Maggie O'Keefe, Senior Director of Product Management, and Kelvin Worsten, Senior Director of Data Science, both with Collective Medical, a point-click care company. Maggie and Kelvin, thank you for talking with us today.
Thanks so much, Brian.
Yeah, thank you. Happy to be here.
Let's go ahead and dive in. Let's jump right into the questions. So why is readmission such a space that interests you or is of interest in the market right now? You know, why is Collective point-click care, why are you all focused on that so much?
I think it's obvious to everyone on the call and everyone listening, readmissions are not a new or novel problem in healthcare, but there's a reason that they stay top of mind for our clients, for our health plans, for our health systems, for us at Collective Medical. Readmissions obviously drive a tremendous amount of cost in the system, and we know that a lot of that is potentially preventable. It also has a huge impact on the quality of care. There's all sorts of real life impacts for patients having to go to the hospital. And I think over the last 18 months, many things have changed in the pandemic, but that's only become more true, right? Everyone wants to stay out of the hospital, and we've added a new layer to what happens when you go back. I think what else is true is that it's clear there's not one silver bullet to solving this problem, right? A lot of the best minds, the coolest vendors, the top physicians and administrators out there have really been focused on this problem for years, and yet there's still a lot of room for improvement. If there was the silver bullet, certainly we would have solved it by now. But when we think about readmissions at Collective, right, it's this multifaceted problem, and it's going to need a multifaceted solution. And one of the things that really drives us is how do we think about uniquely positioning ourselves and uniquely enabling our clients to attack any of the problems facing them in the healthcare space. So when it comes specifically to how we think about readmissions, we sort of step back and say, what is it that's different about us? How can we help drive change in this? And really, that framing of the problem is what led us to our risk scores. We didn't sort of do risk scores for the sake of machine learning being cool, but we did it here because it's really something that has a tremendous potential. When I think about our data assets and their unique nature, right, we have this unique holistic view of a patient. So we don't just know what's happened in that patient within the four walls of a single health system, but we have data on that patient from across over 1,000 acute care facilities, from their behavioral health provider, from their health plan. And we can combine all of that data to understand, you know, who was that patient when they walked in the door, and then also what's happening to them over the course of that stay. We also just have this massive size in data, and I'm sure Kelvin will talk more about this over the course of this podcast, but we can really train this model on, you know, we trained it on over 18 million encounters that lets us become really accurate. And then we can combine this all in real time. So obviously readmissions is a time sensitive problem. You need to solve it within 30 days at max, but we know that a lot of these readmissions happen in sort of the first 7 days being home. And so leveraging Collective's real-time system and software to deliver those insights to providers and practitioners in order, so in a way that they can really impact that readmission before it happens, was sort of key. Kelvin, do you want to add?
Sure. The couple of things that I would add, Brian, is that like last year, CMS fined more than nearly half of the hospitals in the U.S. for having too many inpatient readmissions. And just showing that we as a country and in the healthcare industry are not doing enough to help manage those patients as they are transitioned and discharged from a hospital setting and then go back to potentially working with their primary care doctor to get the right care for those patients. And where historically a lot of these care providers, health plans, and ACOs may have relied on claims data to identify those patients that have been discharged, and then to identify which patients to focus on in terms of that post-discharge follow-up, leveraging the real-time data can have a large impact in one focusing on the right patients in terms of getting to them in a timely manner as soon as they are discharged, but then also prioritizing those patients that are at highest risk of that readmission. So you're not calling everybody and doing that follow-up with every patient that's had a hospital stay.
Makes a lot of sense. And I think, Maggie, the way you laid it out too is sort of, there's a lot of people working on this very big problem. And this data, this information collective point click care has is sort of allows you to offer something unique in this space, right? And so the next question I want to ask is, how do you then use or suggest folks use these readmission risk score models to, you know, address the issue of readmissions?
Data in general, and specifically here, the readmission risk score is a means to an end. I think you captured that perfectly, Brian, right? It's not the end in itself. And I think the role of technology in healthcare is really to complement the training and the skills of our providers and help them operate at the top of their license. And in this case, right, I think our score really is helping providers triage their focus and enabling them to spend time on the patients for whom their outreach or their follow-up is needed most and for whom they have the most potential to make an impact. You know, one of my favorite workflows that we were able to impact is that an ACO client who had been previously set up to follow up with every single inpatient discharge one time, but they knew that one time wasn't enough for those patients that were at highest risk of readmitting, and they were calling some patients who were going home after sort of a very routine stay who probably didn't need those resources at all. And so with this readmission risk score, right, what they were really able to do is use that same amount of budget, that same amount of case managers, but follow up on the top third of patients, the top third risky patients, three times each. And by doing this, right, they have a much higher likelihood and a much higher ROI on impacting that and preventing stay. So I think that really, right, what we hope our model does is help maximize the resources and focus their investment.
And I love that example, Maggie, as you talked about the ability to then focus more of the time for your limited case management resources on those patients that are at highest risk. What we've also found is just that timely intervention is critical, in that significant number of those inpatient readmissions happen within the first 7 days following discharge. And so outreaching in a timely manner is really critical so that you can ensure that those patients are having the right post-discharge follow-up occurring. As an example of how we've seen case managers use this, let's say you're a case manager and you can only follow up with 20 patients per day who have had an inpatient stay, but there were potentially 100 patients that were discharged into your workflow that for that day. Having a readmission risk score to prioritize which of those patients to call and do that outreach to can help prioritize the best 20 patients to call that are at the highest risk of having a readmission, so that you're not wasting your time with those patients that are not at risk of a readmission, and where you spend your time with those patients where that will be impacted with that extra nudge to get a follow-up visit with their primary care doctor.
It makes a lot of sense. You're empowering folks to do more with what they have. Like, we can't necessarily, you know, improve resources certain organizations have, but you can make it more powerful when they are targeting or reaching out to do those nudges. So then I'm wondering if for our listeners, you can maybe, you know, clarify the difference between sort of risk stratification and using machine learning. Can you draw a distinction there?
Traditional methods of risk stratification are focused on tying a few variables to expected outcomes in a linear way. So making a connection from one input variable to that risk score. And that's how things models have been created in the past. With machine learning, the models are able to take a large number of inputs and find underlying relationships and patterns across the data, patterns that are often hard for the human brain to easily find. And so it's making those connections across multiple variables that may be more hidden in doing many more deeper iterations that helps come up with better models than traditional methods would come up with.
Yeah, I think the other thing about the difference between risk stratification and machine learning is that often with the highest risk patients, we're going to see some overlap, right? Our model and a LACE model and just your sort of intuition on who is definitely going to readmit or who is in that riskiest category is often really overlapping. Where we see some divergent value and really unique value prop to our clients is sort of that next tier down, those nuances that you might not see just based on a scan of the patient's chart, of folks that are either getting sicker in real time and we didn't know that they're not sort of at that end stage cancer phase yet, or maybe just have some unique circumstances surrounding their discharge, something like they got discharged from the hospital after 9 p.m. and they couldn't go to the pharmacy. And so that raised them just enough to be actually in that risky category and someone who needs outreach versus another person who wasn't. And so I think that, you know, they're very related, but they are answering different questions.
Excellent. I appreciate you drawing those distinctions for our listeners. And Maggie, I think your comments there sort of bring me to my next question, which is asking for specific examples here. So can you talk about maybe a real world example of something you found using machine learning that maybe surprised you or just a use case for this solution that might interest listeners that might not have pictured this or imagined it possible before?
So we built a machine learning readmission risk score model that leverages demographic data, including phone number and address count, which can get at some housing insecurity challenges that individual patients may have, some hospital data quality scores, hospital visit history and diagnosis codes, among other features. Using our model, we actually had a client share an example of a patient with a stage 4 cancer diagnosis, which they expected that patient to have a high risk score. And initially they did have that high risk score, but what happened was upon more recent data, the risk score dropped. And as we dug into the patient to see what was going on, we saw that in their most recent inpatient stay, this patient had been discharged to hospice, and hence the model had correctly identified that patients that have been discharged off to hospice have fewer hospital stays going forward because they're getting hospice care, and hence gave them a low readmission risk score. We had one other example as well where looking at using a readmission risk score specifically on maternal patients. And what we found is that a number of maternal patients would have multiple short hospital stays coming up to when they've delivered that baby. And so often what was happening is the model was actually able to identify and differentiate those short hospital stays from the stay in which the baby was delivered, and being able to identify based on those short hospital stays that patient was still likely to come into the hospital to deliver the baby, and account for those differences as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think two things. One is just, it's really answering a very specific question. Is this patient going to come back to the hospital within 30 days? So I think there is a little bit of a training curve for people who have been used to just that pure risk stratification in the past, because often a patient that might have multiple comorbidities, might need a lot of follow-up care, might have a low readmission risk score, not only for sort of the reasons Kelvin talked about because they're in hospice, but because you can still be a high risk, high cost patient, but just not be likely to readmit within that 30-day window. So I think just the precision that you can really focus on that is key. And then Kelvin touched on it a little bit, but I think the other thing that we found is so cool about the machine learning model we've built is just its ability to really proxy for some of those social determinant components, right? If you've had 5 different phone numbers in the last 2 months, you probably have some sort of insecurity that's leading to it. So you might look the same to a healthcare provider who doesn't know you, who doesn't know anything about your home life, but the fact that you've registered with all those phone numbers actually does put you at a higher risk of readmission. And certainly it's not because you just change your phone number, but it's the reasons leading up to that. And so I think that for me, right, really caring about health equity, really wanting to make sure we're using technology to reduce those inequities, just seeing sort of what variables weight for different patients is really powerful, even without going out and having huge social determinants of data sets brought into this model. The model can still pick up on things like that.
Really important point. I think you hear a lot about addressing disparities in health, but with the use of data and everything like that, it's really important to make sure that we don't carry on these disparities through our use of data. So really narrowing down and making sure we're using these tools to address these sort of inherent problems. Maggie, Kelvin, it's been a pleasure speaking with you.
Thank you very much, Brian.
Thanks so much.
I'd also want to thank our podcast sponsor, Point Click Care. You can tune into more podcasts from Becker's Healthcare by visiting our podcast page at beckershospitalreview.com.